Ah, yes, guys. Welcome back. Stroll Show here right now. 12 o'clock noon.
12 noon. I'm in C, sitting across from me.
Is the Flow Guys. What's up? Paul's eating a wake-up wrap from Dunkin' Donuts, if you guys caught us live.
One of my biggest pet peeves is people...
You don't want to eat on the mic, but I had to do it.
Listen, we went to karaoke last night.
Yeah. We had a long evening, so Paul's, he's taking some time to come back to reality.
Anybody who knows what karaoke is...
Especially in the city.
You know. What are you doing over there? You all right?
I was trying to tighten this, and that's not the way. Ooh.
I'm sorry. No, it's okay. It's okay. Fine. Did you make it happen? Would you need it happen?
It's loose.
You look comfortable.
The mic is... I'm in like a power stance right now. I mean, the mic is very loose. It's like a loose tooth, you know? So if I move this knob the wrong way, the thing could fall, and then I'll damage the equipment.
I got to stop eating on the mic. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, today we got a great show lined up. We got our boy Chris Farron calling in all the way from Florida.
Very excited about this one.
I am excited. He has a lovely locks of hair, I have to say.
He's got great hair.
Very great hair. I got to ask him about his product.
You're going to ask him what product he uses? I think he probably imports from Australia.
You think he does? Yeah. Does he use that like mane and tail? You know that shampoo?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I've tried that a couple times.
Yeah. My aunt is the hairdresser, Aunt Patty. Shout out to Aunt Patty. Hello, Aunt Pat. How you doing? You're not listening because... I don't know if you know how to use a computer. But anyway, you do, hairstyling. And she always told me, she was like, you know, you don't go to a store and like Dwayne Reed to buy hair product. You have to like, there's like actual, like, you know, like hair stores. Like product selling stores that like, you know, hairdressers go to buy stuff.
Oh, so it's like better stuff than you would get at like CVS?
Yeah, it's like the whole high quality stuff. That was before like, you know. The internet existed. That's what she's telling me this.
So what about what does that make of like Head and Shoulders? Is that good? Because that's my go to.
I gotta be honest. I've been using the Maximum Strength Head and Shoulders. That's like this like radioactive orange color. And I was like, yo, just destroy my follicles. Like I'm already going bald. Doesn't matter. But I was getting a little, you know, I was getting a little flakage.
You know what I'm dandruff?
Talking. Yeah,
dandruff,
you know,
snow on the roof.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even dandruff. It's just I had a very dry scalp.
Well, it's been cold. The winter's been really weird, as you guys probably know.
But I will say,
it did snow a lot.
I will say though that it worked. It worked very well.
I mean, your hair looks pretty good under the hat right now.
Thanks. I feel like it looks good.
It does look pretty. If you took your hat off, I could probably know and assess the cleanliness a little bit better.
But before we get to Chris Farron, he's going to call in about.
Maybe 10.
10 minutes.
10, 9 minutes, something like that.
I want to tell you something. As I was...
Tell me.
As I was looking through to try to find our theme song, right?
Yes.
Ballyhoo Cerveza.
Of course. You guys know this by now, I would assume.
I've never seen this before. And so it's like Spotify has these, you know, they suggest songs to you and they suggest playlists to you, right? When you're like searching through it.
Of course.
So this one said, you might also like, and the name of the playlist is Pop Punk Powerhouses.
Oh, shoot. I actually follow that.
Really?
I do.
I'm very curious to see what's on this. And it's all the songs you would think. It's, you know, Panic at the Disco, Yellow Card, Fall Out Boy, Red Jumpsuit Apparatus. Yeah, these
so
are all...
It's all the powerhouses. And I realized I was tightening this the wrong way. So now I got to go back the other way.
Okay, well... Make it happen. Make
process
it happen.
Of elimination, because there we go. All right, now I'm fully functional again.
Okay, I was just shucking and jiving until you fixed that.
Yeah, I don't know why this is like.
Let me drink my milk coffee right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, for everyone that didn't know, I was away. At very timely. I was away at very good times for the Stroll. So I left after the Stroll Show on Sunday and came back before the Stroll Show today. So I was down in Florida. I was enjoying the rays of sun down there. I missed the snow altogether.
I thought you went to see the Rays, the baseball team.
No, I wish. But I did see the Mets spring training
when
I was down there.
You did do that.
And that was nice. It was a nice thing. I had some funnel cake with Steph. Had a green beer for St. Paddy's Day.
I had a green beer on St. Paddy's Day, too.
Was it colored green? Like the liquid itself?
Yeah. They put like, nice. You know, we went to that place on 86th Street, the Cabo Wabo, Labo, Lobo Cabo. Or
is that
like,
is that new? Is that
yeah,
new place?
It used to be something else, and then now it's that. And there was nobody in there to eat, but they were having like a $5 draft, $4 shot thing, or $4 draft, $5 shot.
That's a good deal.
So me and Megan, we were shopping to make corn. We bought all the ingredients to make corned beef.
Oh yeah.
And we'd done a bunch of stuff that day. I had to go to the doctor, blah blah blah. So we're coming back home and we're like, yo,
corned beef.
We're like, we're about to make corned beef. We have all this like all this stuff we're like carrying to try to like get home. And I'm like. We just, like, let's just peel off into this bar real quick. Just rip a shot like each, and she was just like, no, okay.
It's like a national drinking holiday, so at some point you have to drink at least something.
That's what I was trying to say. And anyway, so not to steal the thunder from Florida story.
There was no thunder in Florida. It didn't rain at all.
Nice weather.
It was very nice weather.
That's good.
Low 80s, mid 70s some days.
Ooh,
yeah. You know, and people say in Florida when it like goes below a certain temperature, and then you wear a jacket. Everyone's like, oh, it's getting too cold. I gotta wear a jacket. I gotta say, I fell victim to that like day two. Once it dropped below like 70, I was like, oh my god. I was like, I need something. So I had to put my sweatshirt on, keep myself warm. You know,
I mean, that's understandable though, because it's like, you know, it's still cold. It's not, you know, just because you're used to the cold doesn't mean that it makes you be able to withstand, like, you're not like withstanding the cold temperature. You still need something.
That's true. My body, you know me, I'm a cold man. I'm a small man.
I know. You don't have a lot of meat on the bones.
Yeah, especially the arms. Those things are like little chicken wings.
But have you ever watched the first the Batman Begins? It's like, if you just, your arms take care of themselves. If you're cold, you take care of your hands and your chest.
Ooh.
And your arms, they take care of themselves. Liam Neeson told me that in that movie. That's what he said.
I believe Liam Neeson.
I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe there's not as much nerve endings in your arms. I don't know.
I have no way. I don't know the science behind it. But you know, maybe we want to play a little something from Chris Farren's newest album, Can't Die.
I think we should do that.
I think we should.
Considering that he's on calling the show
in
today.
It's calling in.
But yeah, we're really excited to talk to Chris. He's recently been on tour with Lawrence Stevenson, Jeff Rosenstock, and he's got a new album out on Side One Dummy Records. The album's called Can't Die. And I mean, we've been really pumped to talk to him for a couple of months now. I feel like we've been talking about him.
It's been a while. So Chris is he's getting ready. He probably has his cell phone on right now with the number dialed in, just ready to hit send.
He can't wait.
Waking up. We're still waking up. Maybe little Chris Farren will wake us up right now. Give us a little juice.
Yeah, wake us up, Chris. Please. We need a little juice. So speaking of juice, I think this song will give me some juice. It's called Human Being. I love this song. I really do. It's a good one. It's a jam. Let's jam it right now. It's called Human Being with Chris Farren of his new album, Can't Die, on Side One Dummy Records. I can't speak. We'll be back with Chris, hopefully right after this. You listen to the Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn.
We'll be right back.
right, guys, welcome back. Stroll Show. That was Chris Farron, human being, right here, Radio Free Brooklyn. That got me excited, and that song was a little ironic, I think, because we were trying to wake ourselves up, and I think we're now feeling like human beings.
The last thing I feel like right now is a human being, because I feel like a human a-hole.
I know, but you know what? I feel like that gave me the energy now. Now I'm ready. Now I'm excited.
I have the juice. I have the juice. It's inside me. Speaking of juice, I've been watching the O.J. Simpson TV show.
Yeah. Oh, is that the live...
No, I watched the
is that ESPN?
No. It wasn't a documentary. It's the dramatization. Dramatization.
I don't know words at this moment.
Best part of the show, John Travolta.
He's in it.
Holy, you know, what else in it? Fucking David Schwimmer's in it.
Really?
Yeah. What? Selma Blair's in it.
What channel is this?
That was FX.
FX?
Yeah.
Not FXX. Just FX.
No, this was FXX. One X.
One X.
It was really good. It's a little much. Oh, we're shucking and jiving, and Chris is calling now.
Hello.
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good over here. You know, can't complain. It snowed like 17 feet up here, but we're doing good.
Oh, great! Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful snow.
Yeah, you're not too used to snow, right? And you're from Florida,
no,
right?
I grew up in Florida, and then last year I moved to Los Angeles, so still no snow for me.
That's a beautiful thing.
I've seen it. I know what it looks like. I know what it feels like. Very cold, right?
It is very cold. Very cold.
It's a little chilly. Yes, the snow. So I saw on your Facebook. Welcome to the Stroll Show, by the way.
Welcome, Chris. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate you calling in on this. You know, it's early for some people to call in like at noon on a Sunday. It's like, I feel like noon on a Sunday is actually like 9 a.m. on a Monday, kind of. Yeah. It's like it's equivalent.
Especially in California, it literally is like 9 a.m. on a Sunday.
Oh, I didn't even put two and two together now. Now you're calling from
LA
time.
I like to wake up early.
Oh, so you're a morning guy? Morning guy?
I'm not, but I'm slowly over the years forcing myself to be.
Yeah, I feel like that's the case. Once you start like working, or once you get responsibility, you gotta start waking up early, and I hate it.
Yeah, it's true. There's just something about like being awake before everybody that is a lot more satisfying than being awake after everybody.
Yeah,
goes to sleep.
Yeah, sometimes when I wake up that early and then I start doing stuff, like you realize, like there's so much you can do.
Yeah, sky is like the limit.
Yeah, right? Like if you get up at 6 a.m., you know, you could do so much before noon, and like you're already up for 6 hours at that point, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, yeah.
It's crazy. But yeah, so you're chilling in the California sun right now, and we appreciate you calling us. Thank you again. So I saw on your Facebook that, were you recently in Universal Studios or Disney or something? Are you in Disneyland over there?
I went to... for a friend's birthday, we went to Universal Studios. Yes.
Oh wow, how is it? How is it out there in that one? Is it the same as the one in Florida?
The Universal Studios. It's hard to say. It's been a very long time since I went to the one in Florida. But as an adult, I think I'm done with amusement parks. It's really, there's nothing there for me anymore.
Yeah.
I don't like the sensation of like flying around in metal and like tricking my brain into thinking it's gonna die. I don't think that's fun.
Yeah,
I'm like very much over that. And then the rest of it is just like boring, expensive stuff everywhere.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, I am a roller coaster guy, but I gotta say, I haven't been on one in a couple years. I don't know. There's something, because there's always that you know, in the back of your mind, like you're saying, like there's that sense of I may die on this, you know, and I chose to do this. It's not
that's the thrill. You don't know the risk. It's a thrill ride, you know.
I guess that's true.
Like, right.
You know,
death is the thrill.
Yeah, it's easy for my. I mean, I can logically like say like it's very very unlikely that I'm gonna die, and it's not even really about like actually being afraid of dying. Just like being like jostled around in such an intense way, and it like physically makes me feel ill.
Right.
Yeah, because you're hitting like zero G's and all these G forces and stuff.
So the human body was not meant to travel at that speed. If it was, we would have jet boosters attached to our feet. Or, right. Like we'd be born with them.
That'd be like an evolutionary thing. Oh, we just got jet boosters now. So we're talking about death here. You came out with a new album called.
I was like, who's gonna make this transition?
Great,
and then you did it.
Well done. That. So you just recently came out with. Is this your debut solo album? Can't Die.
Officially, yes, I would say yes.
And this came out on Side One Dummy.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
You're doing good. Right, you're hitting all the checkpoints. Keep going. You're on roll right now.
I don't know. Now I don't know. I'm too nervous now. So Chris, this being like your first, you know, like solo album, how was the process like this? Cause I know you've been in a few other bands before. Like you had Fake Problems before this, and you were with Jeff Rosenstock in Antarctica Verducci. If I said that right, because I know I was gonna mess that up.
Vespucci, but don't worry about it.
Okay, I'm sorry. And I'm Italian. I feel like I should know.
It's just a bunch of made up words we threw together. So it's like anytime anybody gets it wrong, I'm like, don't even worry about it.
It sounds Italian though, so it sounds, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The process for this record was really both fun and kind of a little. I was like a little isolated in the creation of it because it was the first record I kind of made mostly alone. Like I had some people play on it with me, but there was, I would say, like 80% of the time that I was working on it, it was just like me in my head on my computer just working on it. So to kind of finish it up and then start sending it around, it was very like scary to just be like I had listened to it so many times that I was like, I think this is good, but I've heard it 5 million times, that my perception of it is so skewed. But it ended up being definitely the most gratifying experience I've had making a record and releasing a record, because, you know, for better or for worse, like I made it myself. Like I have the most ownership over any record I've ever made, I have over this record. So when people like it and when people get, you know, tattoos of the lyrics and stuff, it hits me a lot harder than stuff like that has in the past.
Yeah, it must be really gratifying too. And I really, you know, when I listen to it, you know, it sounds like very, to me, you know, and I think that this kind of speaks to being in a, you know, kind of a solo artist as well. Like you can be a little more honest, right? Like you're speaking
for one
person, that's you, right? So, and it makes sense that people are tattooing their lyrics. Like, and I, you know, I kind of, when I'm thinking, when I'm listening to it, I'm you know, my mind goes to like Kevin Devine and stuff, you know, like kind of like in that realm. And I, you know, my sister has like 3 tattoos of Kevin Devine lyrics, right? But that, you know, Kevin Devine, you know, he's speaking for one person, right? I mean, he's speaking for Kevin Devine. And I feel like, you know, I liken it a lot to that. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess speak a little bit about that. Like, or you feel like you're able to, you know, kind of speak from the heart more, right? From just by being by yourself.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that there's a bit of that, but there's also just like, as I've gotten older, I've gotten better at songwriting, and I've kind of start to realize like what about songwriting is meaningful to me, and like what I want out of my own songs. And, you know, over the years making songs, like what I've found is just like, at least when I'm writing, just to be like as plainly honest as possible about how I'm feeling, even if it's embarrassing or it might even seem boring to me like at the time, because I mean, this is like something that every writing teacher will say, but like write about what you know or write about your own experiences,
right?
And nobody, like, you hear that so much, but it's harder to apply it because for me personally, like I have so much like self-doubt and insecurity that like anything I'm saying is unworthy of anyone's attention or whatever. So to kind of, you know, fight through those feelings and just be like, no, I'm just going to write about what my life is like. Hopefully people understand, but if not, at least I can say I wrote, you know, something that is very specifically mine.
Right. And it's got to be, I feel like, you know, and I'm a musician too, and, you know, I write songs, and I'm in a band, like whatever, but I'm just, you know, coming from that kind of headspace of, you know, like my band is like, you know, we're not internal, like we're more external, like we're more like kind of like a Rush, like, you know, like when Rush is writing songs, they're talking about, you know, the temples of Spherinx or some shit, you know, like they're not, you know, like that's a whole different headspace. So like,
yeah, but there's value. There's just as much value in that than introspection, I think, too, you know.
I agree with that. But
it's a good balance between the two.
Yeah. Right. But what I'm really interested in is how do you know when you're sitting down, right? And you're like, okay, you can't decide you're going to sit down and be honest. You know, like you can't just sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to write some honest lyrics right now. Like, it must come to you kind of in a burst, right? I mean, like you must like all of a sudden like, okay, now I'm going to, or how does the writing process work for you in that way?
The good songs are come very quickly.
Right. Yeah. that's a beautiful thing.
The bad ones are the ones I spend the most time on. For me, the way another thing that I've just figured out over the years of writing songs, and the most effective way for me to do it, is just to sit down every single day and write a song, just to be working the muscle, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, there are more days than not where I'm writing a song that I'm not feeling inspired when I'm writing. I'm just writing. But then when it comes time, once the inspiration strikes, which is so, you know, unpredictable, like I've never been able to figure out how to like actually, you know, turn it on and off.
Right.
But I just know that it eventually will come back around. once that comes, I'm more prepared, I feel like, because I've been writing so often and I have just like, I'm just feel a little, more present in the writing process. And then also, like, I kind of have this thing where I've convinced myself that I have to write through the bad songs. Like, I have to write the bad songs to get to the good songs. So that keeps me kind of going. And, like, that keeps me, that makes me, like, finish songs that I would otherwise not finish. And because there's always something good in there at the end of it. Like, I can be like, oh, this song isn't very good, but this bridge melody is pretty interesting. Maybe I can move this somewhere else. Or this lyric that I came up with towards the end of this song is actually kind of cool. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. It's like, even in some of those bad songs, maybe you got something, you know, it's got to be a little, maybe one good nugget that could be used, you know, for something in a better song that you're like, oh, this could actually fit well here. Or kind of like, you know.
Right.
Kind of like
and there's
control
also
paste.
Kind of, I think there's also kind of this subconscious urgency that it gives me, because if I've written like three bad songs in a row, there's something in my brain that'll kick in and be like, if you can't write another bad song today. So let's like move around these brain cells and figure out a different way.
Yeah. And again, this is you saying it's bad, you know, and this is something that you think it's
of
bad,
course.
But then you put it on an album or you play it live. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, people actually like this. They're not there in the writing process. They're not in your head saying, oh, I know Chris wrote this. He got through this one.
He didn't like this one, but hey.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting. You can never really predict what songs people are going to kind of like connect to.
Yeah, that's actually a little bit of a teaser for the, because like the end of the show, the end of the interview, I kind of like to ask, and maybe you can start thinking about this a little bit, because I always like to see a song that surprise our like guests, that like when you play it live, that you get a reaction. And maybe it's like a song you didn't plan on being a hit with your crowd or whatever, and all of a sudden you realize,
right.
Wow, so keep that in the back of your mind. I'm planting the seed, Chris. I'm planting that seed.
Okay.
Okay. Just keep that in mind for later.
Yeah.
I want to maybe backtrack just a little bit. We're talking about the introspective writing process and kind of writing on your own. And how did that come about? Like, and Steve mentioned that you were in a different bands. Obviously, you must have been playing, you know, since your youth. So like,
yeah.
Still young, Chris.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. Fine. we're all young here.
We're all young, right?
but yeah, like, how did it come about for you to decide? Like, was it a conscious decision to kind of do it solo or
Han Solo on that?
Yeah. How did it happen for you?
So I was in a band that we didn't ever officially break up, but we kind of fizzled out, and we kind of all started just my band, my main band essentially broke up. So I was kind of in a state of like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do now. And then I started this band with my friend Jeff Rosenstock, and it was kind of this thing where his band broke up and my band broke up around the same time. And we were both in this kind of headspace where it's just like, what are we, going to keep making music? We both kind of felt like, I don't want to say jaded because that feels like such a permanent term, but like burnt out or something. We're feeling very like uncertain and insecure. And we started talking to each other more. We weren't really that, we were friendly, but we weren't like very good friends like we are now. We just started talking to each other more, and we were talking about just making some music together, just for fun, basically. And we made this, we ended up making this record that, like, just, we were so, had such a great time working on it, and we were so excited by it. And then when we put it out, people were so excited about it that it gave both of us kind of this kind of reaffirming feeling that, like, oh, this is something that we can do. We're good at that, or whatever.
Like reigniting that passion, I guess.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And so we both kind of took that into our own, I mean, we continued to do it with Antarctica, but we also took it into our own personal creative lives. Like, Jeff obviously has his solo records and career, and I have mine. So yeah, it was like after we made some Antarctica stuff, I was just like, I gotta, you know, Antarctica, it's meant to be for fun and a, like a low pressure creative outlet. So as a result, like we're not an extremely active band. I mean, we put records out basically every year, but still, like, I need something more to fill my time with, and just obviously to put all these songs I write. So with that in mind, I was just like, I'm going to make, you know, my own record. And I kind of took a lot of the stuff I learned from Jeff and from writing songs myself for a long time, and was just like, I'm just going to make a record on my own. I'm going to record it myself. I'm not going to worry about a label right now. I'm not going to worry about getting some producer to work on it and spend a bunch of money on it. I just want to make a record, do it myself. And so I made the record, and then I ended up being lucky enough to, Side One Dummy wanted to put it out. And so kind of, I mean, that's the gist of it. Like,
do you find that now, you know, is it kind of gratifying that you found kind of this success on your own, like in your own solo venture? Yeah, is that weird for you? Do you feel like you would rather be in a band like The Somethings or something? I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, is it different, or is it, what's more gratifying, you think?
It is. There are a lot of things I like about it, and some things I miss about kind of the band life, but I would say overall I'm a lot happier, or I'm certain I'm a lot happier now kind of doing this. You know, I'm solo, and I'm like in quotes like on my own, but I have so many people who are kind of, you know, with me, or
right, yeah,
kind of feel like I'm a part of like a team or whatever. Gross word to say.
Collective, maybe. Collective.
Collective, yeah, yeah. It doesn't feel like a total solitary pursuit, you know. Like I have friends, you know, on tour with me often, and I have a lot of people to bounce ideas off of. And I love collaborating. Like I really, really like collaborating on music. I don't like. I more often feel like bringing other people into music brings something that I would have never expected in a good way out of the music. So I'm always definitely in recording, like looking and playing with people that I, you know, really like and admire.
So those DMs are open, right, Chris? You got the DMs open for
yeah.
that.
Slide in.
So Chris, for your album, did you do everything yourself, like all instruments and things like that, or you had some friends help you out?
Yeah, I had my friend Sean, who was in my old band Fake Problems. He played drums on it. And then my friend Casey, who was also used to be in Fake Problems, he played a lot of the lead guitar parts. And then I had like Jeff Rosenstock. He played some saxophone and did some vocals and just kind of would give me general advice when I needed it. Laura Stevenson sings on it, as well as my friend Matt Agrella, who's in a great band called Look Mexico. He played trombone and did some backup vocals.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, a lot of people help you out. That's awesome.
Did they give you, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I have a serious question here. I'm trying to be an interviewer here. I'm curious because did you make the album before signing with Side One, or was it kind of congruent at this, you know, like did it happen kind of simultaneously?
No, I made the album. I wanted to make the album completely and have it 1,000,000% finished and then start sending it to people. They were involved. They became involved after I was completely finished with the record.
Yeah, because I'm curious about like how much freedom a label of, you know, in my mind, that's a sizable record label, right?
Especially like independent music label.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, they're great. They're great. You know, I've had the utmost freedom with them since I started working with them. But, you know, the idea behind putting, like, not sending it to anybody or not sending, like, demos first to anybody was just, like, I just know how I am, and I know, like, any constructive criticism or compliments or anything would change the course of the record for better or for worse, and I didn't want that to happen. So I kept all the music to myself until I was ready to.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, criticism from like, or like ideas and stuff from like my friends and musicians and the people I'm collaborating with. That's what I want. That, but for people who are not involved in the creation of the record, I can't hear it because it's my mind can't handle it.
You got enough stuff going on up there, right? You need...
I have enough like self doubt. I don't need outside doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. I really appreciate the process. I think that's really cool. And you know, I was sitting here listening to you talk about, you know, Sidewind Dummy and all that, and I was thinking that they gave you all this freedom to have all, like, your friend play drums, but you just took it into your own hands. And then, I mean, it's pretty awesome that you gave them a finished product. I mean, I know that's kind of, I guess in 2017, maybe that's a little more how it works, right? I mean, like, I don't know, record labels don't pay for, unless you're like U2 or like Bruce Springsteen or something, like, they're not paying for you to... You got to pay back that money that they would loan you anyway if they were to put up money for a record, right? So you might as well just do it yourself by your own means.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah. And I think that's a danger that people who are used to the old way kind of get sucked into and become, you know, increasingly jaded and unhappy because nobody knows what they're doing.
Right.
But they all want to tell you.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, like, you know even on our end, we're, you know, trying to do a radio show, we're trying to get more listeners, get more people to follow us, right? And it's very difficult to navigate the, you know, social media landscape.
Waterways, yeah.
Yeah, like how do you find that and being a, you know, being a musician today? Like, I mean, I feel like I've access to some other bands too, but I'm interested because it's not easy to figure out what, especially that Facebook, you know, kind of provides you fake likes sometimes, and it asks you to pay for this and pay to advertise yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's crazy. How do you find out, you know, how do you figure that out? What is your method of...
Write this down.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's all kind of, all that stuff is just kind of constantly evolving, I find. I just try to stay as consistent as possible across the board on all of it, and not to worry about posting. I don't really worry about posting too much, because I know that, like, it's very easy to just scroll past anything. So, like, I will post about a show I'm playing, like, a bunch, because I figure, like, every show and tour I've ever been on in my life, somebody always comments the next day, hey, when are you coming to Houston, when I was just there. So, like, I know that, like, people just don't see stuff. So it's kind of just about being consistent for me. Like, I'm signed up for one of those services that that you can kind of, like, schedule posts. So, like, at the beginning of every week or at the end, like, Sunday night or something, I'll go on and just kind of, for promote, like, the very specific, like, promotional things that I'm like, I have to post about this, I'll just kind of set it up for the week to post, you know, however many times a week about something. Because I know that, like, if I'm, you know, tasked to do it myself, like, in the moment, I will start to, as always, everything in my life, start to second-guess myself and be like, maybe I shouldn't post this, as people are probably sick of hearing about it. So I kind of just am able to get it out of my head at the beginning of the week and just have it run on autopilot. And that also gives me the freedom to just kind of be more personable and off the cuff in other social things, because I'm not thinking about it. And then I can just talk to my fans on socials and stuff and just be kind of like a part of the whatever Twitter community and Facebook and all that crap.
I think that's the key, is, like, you try to be yourself as much as possible on there, because that's what attracts people, I guess, you know, like,
social media aspect.
Yeah. But it's pretty crazy to think that, you know, even 10 years ago, it, like, it didn't even exist. And now you can get a degree in, like, social media management or some shit.
It's like, you know? There's, like, full-time jobs for this stuff.
You know, like, I mean, Steve, right? Your sister is, like, a social media marketer, right? She's going to school for social.
It would be just marketing, but they do emphasize a lot of social media marketing, because basically it's the world is there. You know what I'm saying? It's just like everybody's connected at this point. Even our parents, I'm sure your parents, whoever, they're on Facebook and sharing videos too, you know? They love it. We all love
it. My mom, listen to this. My mom, on my, you know, band, Chris Farron, like, public Facebook page, like, where people can, like, see my tour dates and stuff. She doesn't do it anymore, because I asked her kindly to stop. But any comment or anything that somebody posted, like, on any time I would post something, people would, like, comment, like, oh, I'm so excited to see you, blah, blah, blah. My mom would just go down the list and like every single one. And so, like, you just, like, look, and it just says, Peggy Farron likes this, Peggy Farron likes this, Peggy Farron likes this, Peggy Farron likes this. I'm like, Mom, you got to stop doing that. It makes me look like I'm a little kid or something.
It's tough, because they're like, you know, because they're of course they're proud, you know, and they want to, and they're just scrolling through and they're like, oh, that's nice.
I mean, even on our Facebook page, like, our parents like our stuff, and, like, my mom will like something and then she'll, like, reply to it and say, good job, love, Mom. Like, she'll sign off on. It's like, I know it's you, Mom. You don't have to say love, Mom. It's not a note from. It's like,
I love it. I do love it. And Chris, I want to switch a little bit. We've been talking some serious, you know, questions here with Chris Farron on Radio Free Brooklyn. But I'm wearing right now, Chris, I'm wearing a shirt I bought at Target that is of Nigel Thornberry from The Wild Thornberries and Nickelodeon.
It's very, very cute shirt. You
it's
look
very cute.
Cute
shirt. Thank you. And I want to know, what, growing up, favorite cartoon, if you had one?
Favorite cartoon?
It's a tough one.
It is.
I've been probably boring answer, but, like, I was recently thinking about how much I liked the Looney Tunes growing up, and, like, how many things in my life, like, I always have, like, weird, or I notice, like, weird songs stuck in my head, and then I'm like, oh, that's from the Looney Tunes. So weird, like, how much it kind of seeped into my brain growing up.
It's very true. And maybe you watched it at kind of like an impressionable age. I mean, I feel like we're probably close in age. And I watched it. Used to be on Cartoon Network. They had like a Looney Tune hour. And like I would be like, Mom, can I stay up till 9 o'clock? I got to watch the end of the Looney Tunes hour.
It's like, oh, I don't know, Paul.
Yeah. And just that, I guess, and that was like, I was, you know, first grade, so 6 years old or something. And so, and it's still, I still remember that very vividly. And they did utilize a lot of like classical music and weird things like
and
that.
And violence.
Yeah.
And violence, too. Yeah, there was violence.
I also remember I really liked Ah, Real Monsters.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one. I forget the characters' names in that one, but I remember them.
Crumb. I don't remember almost anything about it.
I just remember they lived in like a they were like in a washing machine, right? They were like
the washing machine was led into their underground world.
Of course.
So it was in the dump, of course.
You know, I have one memory of that show because it kind of grossed me out as a kid, and it was like there was this other monster, and his job was to collect toenails, and he would he would just lay down and was really loved laying in toenails.
Oh,
I don't know why that's for kids. I don't know why it's for kids.
Well, if you would put on like Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon today, there's no even cartoons anymore. Now it's just
those like kid actors.
Yeah,
they're like super happy. I don't know. That's too energetic for me. I feel very lethargic these days.
I feel like the Disney Channel kind of set this precedent with Miley Cyrus and stuff. Like now you're
like
trying
Lizzie McGuire.
Right, Lizzie McGuire. Like, so now you have to just pump out kid actors, and you put it's like seeing what sticks, you know, like who's gonna be the next Ariana Grande, you know. We need to get as many young kid actors as possible so we can lock them up, you know.
I'll tell you a funny story here. I used to work at a summer camp, and one day they had like the Disney Channel came there, and they have like, I guess the Disney Channel is a roster of like young kid musician like performers, and we got to see like C-level Disney performers come, like, you know, they were like trying to be like the next Bieber, or like it was like the most bizarre thing ever. Yeah, and they were throwing out those tune toothbrushes that when you put it in your teeth it would like play a song.
Yes,
they were throwing those out at the crowd. Everyone's going, kids are going nuts, and I couldn't believe they have like a C-level roster. I thought it was just, all right, we got one level, just A, and we're just gonna shoot these kids out. I guess they have a developmental league.
Gave me an amazing idea for Chris. I think you need to put this in the back of your mind as well.
You make this man think too much.
I think tooth tunes, you know, 30-second clips of Chris Farren material on the toothbrushes.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
I'm saying put the whole album on that. Brush the whole time.
Whole bunch of toothbrushes.
All right, you got to brush your teeth for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Chris Farren, he rocks hard, but he also cares about your dental hygiene.
Yeah. Oral hygiene.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. So we're kind of wrapping up, Chris. Thank you for goofing around with us, man. Appreciate it. So you have a couple cool shows coming up. You're playing in Brooklyn next week or this week coming up, right?
22nd. I don't know what day it is
yeah,
anymore,
22nd,
Chris.
Yeah, 22nd, Wednesday.
Nice. And that's that same Vitus, right? That got moved?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a different show.
Yeah, it's same Vitus.
Oh, okay, awesome. And tickets still on sale, Chris?
yep. And it's got Katie Allen, a great band, my friend Anika and Dan. They used to be in a great band called Chumped, and now they're in a band called Katie Ellen. It's really great. And then a band called Timeshares is also playing, and then also a great little duo called Early Riser. So I'm really excited for this show. It's gonna be cool.
Nice, Chris.
Awesome. We're gonna be there in earnest.
That's a nice word.
You like that?
I was like, whoa, hey, I had to look that up.
Ernest Scared Stupid, you know what I'm talking about? I love those movies. Anyway, thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, man.
Go back to bed.
Now you're married. Thank you for getting up early with us. Hopefully, look, you accomplished something today. It's not even 10 o'clock yet. You're rocking and rolling already.
Right?
So just remember that little nugget I told you. Remember, do you have a song that kind of comes to mind when I say, you know, a song that kind of, you know, surprised you at how much it connected with your fans, or when you play a show you're like, wow, people respond well to this song? Is there anyone that like comes to mind?
Yeah, there's a few, like definitely a lot of Antarctica Vespucci songs ended up like that, because kind of that record in general, the first Antarctica record, was just like songs that I was trying to make my into songs for my old band, and the other members of the band were like, no, we don't like it. And so there's a specific song called Bang on the first Antarctica record. And I was like, I remember like walking into like my old band practice and being like, I thought of this lyric and I think it's so cool, but it is so weird. And the line is, all I want to do is ride my bike and think about sex. And they were like, what? No. And then we didn't talk about it anymore. And then, like, I we put this Antarctica Vespucci put this record out, and that song is on there, and it's like people sing along. People have like that line like tattooed on them and stuff.
Wow.
So it's been very like gratifying to. It's kind of that thing like where you think like, I think I have a good idea, and then you convince yourself that you don't have a good idea.
You talk yourself out of it.
Right, exactly. And then like you kind of find out that you were right about something, and it's just like, wow, my instincts were correct. I feel like that never happened.
That's awesome.
So it was kind of like that back and forth thing, yeah.
Cool. It's on Spotify, so it's getting a play.
It's getting one play.
Awesome.
We're bringing it into the top five.
Nice.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much again, Chris.
And, thanks, Chris.
Enjoy your Sunday, and we'll see you. What day is the show again?
It's Wednesday, 22nd. Right? I was gonna say this Thursday. Wednesday.
Yeah.
Cool, man. All right.
Yeah, I think it's Wednesday. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Nay, not a problem, Chris. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thanks. See you. Bye.
All right, we're gonna play that song. Bang.
We are.
I'm like really excited to listen to it.
Paul's got it all tuned up.
You ready?
Yeah, he's got tooth tuned up.
Hang on. I'm a little worried because the last time I tried to play a song, my phone volume. Like freaked out. But I'm gonna be on it real quick. Watch.
Okay.
All right. This is Bang. It's aren't Antarctica Vespucci.
Yeah, I know.
That is Chris's band with Jeff Rosenstock.
Big J Rose, yeah.
Who I'm very proud of us that we did not we didn't jump at the Jeff Rosenstock.
No, we don't take the bait.
Okay, so yeah, this is
I don't even know what that means.
There's no bait. It's
no bait.
All right, bang, here we go. She said, I sat up slightly from the couch and said, that's gonna happen no matter what. Go out with a bang, or until they all know your name. Just don't fade out.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back here right in the...
He said not to fade out.
I know,
faded
Chris
out on
told
him.
Me not to fade out, but I faded out. Listen to the Stroll Show right here, Radio Free Brooklyn. Always seeing the flow. Talking to Chris Farron today. Lovely guest. Thank you, Chris. Thanks for waking up early for us.
Yeah, extra early. I didn't even realize that. How shitty am I?
I was like, yo, Florida, that's nice, you know? But he's...
Didn't realize he was in Big Cali.
I know.
California love. California.
Yeah, so He's cooking. He's cooking out there.
Knows how to party.
So I got a little pitch right now.
Yeah, just do a little pitch, and then we got to finish on an oh shit moment.
We got our oh shit moment of the week coming up right after this pitch by me. Hey, guys. You like what you're hearing here on Radio Free Brooklyn? If you do.
Why?
Why? Our website's always down, but if it's up, if it's up,
Steve go to... I just left some of my headphones fell off.
So if it's available to go on and click, go to Radio Free Brooklyn /pledge. And you'll see our Patreon page where you give us a subscription service of money. Like you give us a dollar a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, $20, $25, $100. Stop it. You're going to go that high? Steve, you're going to go that high?
Can I ask a question, Steve?
Yeah.
Can you donate $4,000?
Yes. God damn it. Yes, you can. You get so many good things. You get like a hoodie. You get a cup. You get a hat.
You get so much.
A shirt. You get a shout out from your Stroll Bros. Who don't get a cut. We don't get a cut.
You know, we don't get a cut, but you know what? We just want to keep this place operational. Yeah.
We want fully operational service here. So you donate, just drop some coin in there, and we'll all be like, woo. Yeah. Thank you.
Patreon. Patreon.com/Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yeah, so either one of those, hit them up, drop some coin in our piggy bank, and we'll be thankful. But without further ado,
engaging oh shit moment of the week.
It's oh shit moment of the week. What's it gonna be? Let's find out now.
Oh shit. All right, here we are. Well, now we're in the ocean. I feel like I spit all over myself.
You were really getting into that beatbox.
I was channeling Nick, our boy Nick. Nick beatboxes pretty good.
Yeah, he does. He does.
I mean,
no, it's true. It's true. He does.
He's got internal beats. I like that.
Shout out to Nick. Shout out to Nick.
Hey, Nick, we missed you last night, Nick. We'll see you soon.
I hate saying that shout out.
I don't
shout
know.
Out. Anyway.
Like a DJ at a birthday party.
I'm going to shout out my oh shit moment of the week this week. It's actually two pronged this week because, first of all, Chuck Berry died. Oh shit. Yeah.
Oh shit. That's it. I heard he was sick, and then I was like, oh, it's probably a matter of time.
Guy was 90.
Yeah, he was.
That's old.
I wonder. Oh, man.
That's old, man. 90?
That is old. That's a good life. I mean, he lived a good life. He was revolutionary in many ways. You know,
it's very true.
Like one of the kings of rock and roll, the OG from the 60s.
Breaking barriers. He was like the Jackie Robinson of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Like that?
Rest easy.
Rest easy, Chuck.
Yeah.
I guess it's a three-prong thing. I saw Logan this week.
The movie. You were telling me about this last night, and it sounded amazing. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a superhero guy.
Yeah, I know. This is not like a superhero movie. I mean, the fact that it's based on, you know, it's not, I don't even know if it's based on a comic book. It's just, the cool thing is, in this world, in the future, right? It's like it takes place like 20 years in the future or whatever from now. Maybe not even.
It would be like 50 then. Shit.
Oh, shit.
Shit.
That's the real oh shit moment.
That's it. Thank you for listening.
But yeah, it's pretty cool because like in the book, in the movie, one of the people they're like reading X-Men comic books. It's very self-aware, but it's supposed to be so far in the future that the X-Men have become like legend. So they made the comic books based on reality and like, you know, embellished, of course.
Of course, of course.
But anyway, so Logan's fucking awesome. Go see that. They should have just made all the Wolverine movies R-rated. I don't know what they were doing. It's an R-rated movie. And I didn't realize it when I was going in there. I was like, damn, I'm going to see Logan. This is going to be cool. And then in the first 5 minutes, people are getting stabbed in the face. And I'm just like, whoa, what is this rated? And yeah, Megan's X. Like, it's rated R, shut up.
Oh, and you're like, okay, pass the popcorn, please.
And finally, if you haven't listened to this podcast yet, it's called Missing Richard Simmons. Have you listened to it? Have you heard about it?
No, but I know Richard Simmons is missing right now.
Well, like, I think they might have found
him. They've located him because he was gone for like, what, 1,000 days or something?
Yeah, he was...
That's like 3 years.
Well, they're saying that he's believed to be not missing, but like in his mansion in, you know, Beverly Hills or whatever.
It's like his training cocoon.
Yeah. He is loaded, that guy. He's like... millions and millions of dollars. Like I was reading about him and I listened to the podcast. Apparently he had one of the highest selling VHSs of all time, like at the time when it came out.
Like higher than Lion King?
I mean, this was before Lion King. So it was like the 80s, like the Sweat to the Oldies and shit. Like that was one of the most owned VHSs. Wow. at the VHS boom of the 80s. Like
that's amazing. That really is amazing.
So yeah, oh shit, Richard Simmons, check it out. Missing Richard Simmons, really good.
Because you really haven't heard from him in a while. But you know what? You don't get rich not wearing spandex.
That's true.
And so wear the spandex.
Wear your spandex, everybody. And thanks again to Chris Farron. Yeah, we appreciate it.
This Wednesday, catch your Stroll Bros there, chilling like villains.
Yeah.
St. Vitus up in Greenpoint.
Yeah, Greenpoint.
Get some pierogies up there because I know it's a Polish heavy community.
And good pierogies. The
I don't have a particular place in mind to go eat at, but they do have some nice pierogies.
So use that app on your phone. You'll find it.
Pierogi finder.
Yeah, again, thanks, Chris. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Appreciate it. If you listen to the first time, you know, the Stroll Show, please join us again next week. We don't have a guest lined up, but we're going to figure it out.
You know how we do.
You know how we do. We're always figuring it out. And, of course, Vinny, I got to ask.
Vinny.
Hang on, Vinny, what?
Are you up, bro?
Are you up?